What's going on, everybody? This is Jaden Chase with the Chase Strong Radio Podcast. We are recording on a Saturday morning. It is currently 5:02, and we're going to get another episode put out today. Why am I recording at 5 a.m., you ask? Well, we had a couple people cancel out last minute last night, to where we wouldn't be able to get any equipment into the gym and we wouldn't be able to do our regularly scheduled podcasts when we were originally planning on doing it. So I decided that we need to have a podcast is the simplest answer I can put it. I've committed myself to doing weekly podcasts, and with the season 2 underway and rolling full steam ahead, it just makes sense that we're going to do anything we can to get another episode out. So that's what this is. I believe we are on episode 3 now. So we're just moving right along. So you guys get me at the wee early hours of the AM when I'm still a little bit groggy. I'm still waking up. I've got plenty of thoughts going through my head when it comes to getting myself out of bed, and it comes to getting myself ready to be at the gym and to get ready to start training. I'll be training here in about 45 minutes with the crew. They're all going to roll in for a Saturday AM session. We typically go a little bit later on Saturdays just because no one really has to work and there's not a whole lot of stuff going on a Saturday, so we decided to not be quite as hardcore. We don't go at 5 a.m. on a Saturday. We'll typically meet on Saturdays at 6 instead, so gives us about an hour or so, at least some of us anyway. Gives us about another hour of sleep, and we still get after it. Honestly, Saturday by far is my favorite day of training out of the whole entire week. Not because of the day, but because of the way we structure our workouts and our split. Same goes for Lane as well, and a lot of the other crew members. We absolutely throw down on Saturday mornings. The way we've structured it is because we're doing conjugate, there's always going to end up being 2 max effort days followed by 2 dynamic effort days. Really, the only difference between those 2 days is with your max effort days. It's exactly how it sounds. It's max effort. So you're working up to a 1 rep max. You're picking a variation, preferably variations that are going to help you with troubled areas, weak points, sticking points, whatever. And then following that up, we do 2 more days where it's now dynamic effort work, which is just a fancy term for speed day. So the concept with dynamic effort is that we are trying to move the weights with maximal effort. It's still a max effort lift, but because of the nature of the sub-maximal weights that we're loading onto the barbell, it is creating a lot of force development and a lot of speed through the reps that in turn, over the long run, as you continue to apply this method to your training, it is going to allow you to be more explosive as a lifter or as an athlete. And so over time, as you learn to apply maximum force into the barbell, you're going to be able to recruit more muscle fibers. Your CNS will be able to fire more efficiently and more, I guess you could say, violently, and you just learn how to recruit even more motor units within the entire body more efficiently, I guess. So that's kind of the definition there. So when we come in on Saturdays, we're always going to squat and we're always going to deadlift because of the nature of the workout. We really don't get sore. You might get a little bit sore from all the accessory movements we do afterwards, and that's just because we're doing typical bodybuilding stuff after the speed work is done. But the actual speed work in itself typically won't make you all that sore, which is a huge benefit when it comes to training as intensely as we do. You're going to be a little bit sore if you've never done it before. A lot of the new guys that show up, we start recruiting more and more people into the gym, start joining morning crew, night crew, whatever it may be. They're going to go through a little shock factor that their bodies aren't really used to. So maybe for that first two, three weeks, you might experience a little bit of DOMS, a little bit of delayed onset muscle soreness. But then typically once you've been in the program for a little while and you get rolling through it, it's just like any other training program where your body adapts a little bit more and you're not quite as sore. But with the squats, the main thing with the squats is that we've tried speed work doing raw squats. That kind of worked for a little while. It got us really dialed in on technique and form and things like that. But as we get stronger, and for a lot of us, as we've been getting stronger, we want to also make sure that we are maintaining our longevity as we train. So performing speed work on a raw squat can and could be a little bit detrimental to our joint health. And so the solution to that is that for speed work from now on, we will always be doing speed work to a box. Typically, we're going to try to get to a parallel box, but it's still a box squat nonetheless. That's going to allow us a lot of extra time, a lot of extra reps to be able to learn the nature of the box squat, which is to get your feet really, really wide. We start developing stupid strong hips. The hamstrings are completely engaged. We're making sure that the hamstrings are getting as much work done as we can. You're typically going to find that much more efficiently, much more optimally when you're squatting on a box versus raw squat. But then as soon as the squats are over, then we're going to bounce right over to the deadlift platform. We do the whole thing all over again. The reps and the sets will change up a little bit according to volume control, according to intensity needs, things like that. But typically with the deadlift, it's really just, you know, you take your time on your setup, you're going to set up the same way you always do. But as soon as you go to pull on that bar, once everything's locked in, the brace is set, everything's sinking in deep, then we're just pulling with everything we got. We're trying to get to a standing position as quickly and as violently as possible. So that's pretty much speed work in a nutshell. We do have another day of speed work, which we will not do till Monday morning. That's our upper day, where we'll be doing a lot more bench press, we'll be doing Viking press. Sometimes we incorporate rows as a speed movement, typically more so for the athletes that are doing team type sports. Anybody that's just strictly powerlifting is more gonna just focus on the bench press. So yeah, that's pretty much our split towards the end of the week. The only reason why we're doing dynamic effort lower on a Saturday and then dynamic effort upper on a Monday is because if we followed the typical split that the Westside Barbell Club would do, they will do max effort on Monday and Wednesday, which then pushes your speed work into Friday and then Sunday, so that you're having all those days in between of either active recovery rest, maybe you do some small workouts in between, but typically it's just you have days in between the four main training days. Most of us here at the gym, we are churchgoers. We don't like to dedicate our Sundays to any kind of training. And so because of that, I got thinking about it and I was like, what's the best way to rearrange this split to ensure that our Sundays stay as a rest day? So really it just came down to taking every single day in its place and just shifting it a day. So instead of max effort falling on Monday, Wednesday, I just pushed it to Tuesday, Thursday instead. And then same thing goes for the two dynamic effort days. Instead of it falling on a Friday, Sunday split, I just pushed it out a day to Saturday, Monday. So it kind of messes with people a little bit when they first see the program, the split when it's written down, because everybody associates Monday with the start of the program or the start of the new week's wave of what you're doing. most people say, you know, starting Monday, we start Monday. We change that up a little bit. So typically it for us, it's going to be, we start Tuesday and your week's worth of your training cycle will actually commence and finish up on a Monday. So it's a little different. I've actually seen a lot of benefits to doing it that way. We used to also try other splits, which were, they were okay. I wouldn't say they were bad, but they just weren't as optimal as they could be. We've done two max effort days back to back, where we've tried doing max effort on Monday, Tuesday, then we take a Wednesday off, and then we've done speed work on Thursday, Friday. We've also done max effort Monday, Wednesday, and then we pushed out our two speed days back to back to do like a Friday, Saturday speed day back to back. But either way, like any way that you set up your split, for us, we've been making it the priority to just have Sundays off. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. So we've got that to look forward to here in a few minutes. We're going to get the ball rolling and going to get after it with some dynamic effort stuff. I've been toying with the idea of getting a more of like a training log posted on the Chase Strong pages. I don't know how much interest there would be or how much engagement we would even get if we were to post a highlight video of some of the movements we would typically do on a certain day, but then in the caption of each post we're posting up the entire workout that we do that day. You guys will have to let us know if that's something that you would enjoy seeing and following and keeping up with, I guess. If there's not much engagement on it, I'm not going to waste my time doing it, obviously. So I might try it for a week or so, and if it gets more engagement than other stuff I've been posting, then I'll keep doing it. If it doesn't get a single like or view or comment, then I'll scratch it and I'll say, screw it, we'll move on to something else. So that's pretty much where we're at right now. We posted earlier in the week that we would be doing a Q&A. So we're going to do that. I'm always down to do Q&As because I feel like that gets more engagement, because it's you guys asking the questions and it's not just me rambling during each episode. And we're going to keep working on getting the word out even more so. I'm not quite sure what the strategy needs to be to get it in the face of as many people as possible. But I feel like that's just a great content creator, because if you guys, the listeners, are trying to inquire about something, if something catches your interest, maybe we touch on something but don't go into a ton of detail on a certain subject, that is your guys' opportunity to reach out, ask questions, ask us to either go deeper on a certain subject, or if we just haven't really touched on a certain subject at all and you've been wanting to hear what our take is on XYZ subject, then that's your opportunity to basically be in control of all the content that we're going to create on each podcast. So we really need you guys to reach out, get your brain turning, or get the wheels in your head turning to where you're thinking of critical questions, thinking of stuff that's going to help with your training, help with your motivation, help with progression, whatever. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about anything, dude. Like, honestly, anything. And if you're going to submit a question, trying to be more of a troll about it, you better believe we're still going to answer your question. If it's troll-y enough, then we may just announce your Instagram handle or your username, so that people know who you are when you're asking the stupid questions. But if it's within reason, that, like, if we're being productive with the way that the questions are being asked, I don't really care if we don't say names and who's submitting what. But yeah, you better believe that if you're trying to be funny about it, we're gonna let people know who the class clown is. So let's see here. Got a couple questions that are on the queue. Let's go to the first one. This one was actually asked not this within this week when we were asking about questions. We actually had a question submitted a few weeks ago that we just never got around to answering. So I guess they're the first in the queue. They've been waiting patiently, but I don't have it pulled up word for word where I can read it, but I do remember what the question was. Basically, question is asking about the importance of a good training environment and what that means to us. So Kyle is obviously not here. Connor's not here. It's just me chilling in the dark by myself. Actually, you know what? I meant to go out for a walk, but the weather's just enough that I think it would piss all you guys off because it's just windy enough that I don't want a bunch of static blowing into the mic. So that's why we're not out for a walk right now. So that's fine. But anyway, it's just me here. So I'll be answering all the questions and I'll be giving my opinions on things. So the first question, from my take, my opinion is having the experience of a good group of dudes, which is what I have been blessed to have for the last couple of years now. For me, it has made all the training difference in the world. If we're going to talk about the self-motivation and the type of atmosphere people like to create when they can just throw the headphones in and tune the rest of the world out and go to their dark place, go to their meditative place, whatever they want to call it. I mean, that's a huge benefit, and I've done that for years, and I've always kind of trained by myself when I was pursuing the bodybuilding thing and fresh out of high school, doing a lot of my training on my own. So I know what that feels like, and I did it for a number of years, and there was definitely a place for that. I feel like to be able to work out on your own creates a good headspace for you as an individual. Oftentimes, for me, where I was doing that style of training, it wasn't super regimented. It wasn't that I was following a specific program. A lot of times I would just do my own training on my own, and I would have a predetermined split, and I would have a predetermined couple of movements that I knew I was going to hit that day. But as far as like rep ranges and things like that, a lot of that just went off of feel. Some days I would try to push heavier weights. Other days I would try to add a couple extra sets, add a couple extra reps. Some days it was all about chasing the pump and I had no care in the world what the weight was. I was moving the pins up and down stacks and just doing really whatever I wanted. And in those workouts, in those training sessions, there was a lot of self-reflection. There was a lot of hours being put in where I could really try to determine how hard I was working. I was taking honest assessments within myself, and just kind of getting to know myself. And at that time in my life, that was where I think I would need that type of training because you're talking between the ages of 17 all the way up to 21, 22. So I mean that's kind of a huge self-development time of my life. And so to have that where I didn't have a lot of the distractions of friends or training partners that I wouldn't have had the headphones on. At that point in time, I would have been discussing things with them. I would have been helping them out. And I just didn't have that. And so I could see the benefit to that. But to not go, not, to not stray too far off from the question was more touching on the importance of like a good environment, good training atmosphere, and especially with the group of dudes that we've got going here at Chase Strong. I'll touch on that more. For the last six years, it's been nothing but training with other people. And what's really cool about that is that for the pursuit of strength, I've found a huge benefit in knowing that I've got good training partners because I would be able to now start pursuing weights and pursuing attempts at certain weights that I normally would never even consider trying unless I was absolutely desperate enough to set up the pins the right way, making sure that I'm lifting as safely as possible on my own. But just knowing that I've got people there to help load, help spot, and to just support in those lifts has been huge. That's really helped me to find my process and how I do my setups. It's helped me to find a flow in the way that I'm gonna operate as a lifter. Because let's be honest, if you don't really know any better, you would probably suggest that, to take a squat for example, people are gonna look at a squat and they're gonna assume that the squat starts after you've unracked it, after your feet are set, and when you're ready to brace and start dipping down into that first rep. A lot of times people are gonna say that's where the squat starts. But I would actually argue to the contrary, that your squat starts when the bar is loaded. So once that weight is loaded on there, clamps are tight, what you do at that point forward is going to determine a lot of times the difference between a good lift and a poor lift. And so when it comes to having a group of guys that can help to psych up and to get things prepped for you, give you that little slap on the back if you need it, and then just being there to cheer you on, it has been huge for my own development anyway. And that's just talking about the main lifts, the big lifts. I could go on and on about just having a really good group of dudes when it comes to doing the assistant movements, making sure that we're not sandbagging. If we know we got extra reps in, we're going to let each other know about it. We're going to really push each other to the max. I might have days where I'm just not really feeling like I want to push as hard as I could. And it's really cool to have somebody right there next to me that says, like, dude, you quit way too early on that. I know for a fact you could have done 10 more reps on that given set. And so then it's that mental check of just being like, yeah, man, you're right. I'm sandbagging. And it keeps you accountable. It keeps you progressing that way. So for that aspect, absolutely love it. Now, what I wanted to touch on is the difference between a good crew and a bad crew, and being smart about choosing the types of people that you're going to work out with. Because I see it a lot with the younger generation, the younger groups, that their time to train in the gym oftentimes doesn't end up being that much of a training session. It kind of ends up being just a social hour, and it becomes a time to kind of dink off a little bit and not really get after it. And granted, it is important to have your moments with your friends and to have a good time. And to say that you're not allowed to have a good moment while you're training is the stupidest accusation ever, because we do it all the time. Our morning crew works harder than any group I know of at the moment, and we have all the laughs. So that's not what I'm getting at. It doesn't have to be serious, and it certainly doesn't have to be I don't know what the term is. It doesn't have to be so serious all the time that you feel like that you can't say a joke or you can't be lighthearted towards something, because that just kind of ruins the mood in the opposite direction too. Nobody likes that guy that's just always serious all the time and can never take a joke. So that's not what I'm implying, but what I am implying is that if there's a point where the people that you're trying to train with either talk too much or they spend way too much time doing rests in between their sets to where they're just not really getting after it, then that can play a big role in how you progress as an athlete, as a lifter, as a bodybuilder, whatever you're doing, doesn't matter. So making sure that you're selecting the right group of people to train with is huge. And if you're the most motivated individual within your group, if you're the one that always has to remind everybody else to do their next set and to stop talking and to stop standing around and to help load weights and to do whatever, then I got sad news for you, man, but you got to get a new crew, honestly. If you're the most motivated person there, I dare argue the fact that you probably are the strongest one there too. And if you're catching yourself in that situation, you either need to have a super honest talk with your group, your friends, your whatever. You need to make sure that your goals align with each other. Because if you're trying to go a certain direction, and if you're trying to break contact with the floor, to say, and if they're kind of keeping you rooted and keeping you pulled down, that's gonna affect a lot of what you do for the rest of your life. And I'm not just talking about training either. I'm talking about what it means to train hard in the gym and how that translates and correlates into how you're gonna get after it in life too. And if you don't get a chance to learn how to be an absolute savage in the gym, and I don't use that term loosely, I'm not saying it as a hot word and what the kids are seeing these days. That's not what I mean. Like I literally mean that if you can go to absolute hell every single day that you're training and learn how to fight through certain things, that's where you can earn that title of being a freaking savage in the gym. And if you're the only one doing that in your group, you gotta find yourself a new group, man. So, I think that answered the question. I would say that you can create that environment in any facility. I mean, if all you have access to is a Planet Fitness, dude, make that your freaking sanctuary and roll with it. I would advise against it, depending on how you're choosing to train, that you're not going to have a lot of carryover and benefit to some of the things that you can and cannot do there. But I mean, there's no reason why you can't make progress at a place like that. So it's not so much about the facility. I mean, it's just a building, right? You might have some pictures and banners on the wall. You might have your equipment spread throughout the floor, and that's great. But it has to do with the type of environment that you're setting inside the gym. And that oftentimes comes from the people that are there with you. So making sure that you have the right friend group and the right selection of people there to motivate you is, it's going to make all the difference in the world. So with that being said, I'm going to offer a little extension invite and say that if anyone's looking to absolutely get after it, especially everybody listening in the area of Pocatello, come on down. Honestly, like, I want to give you a full invite to come out, check things out at the gym, see if it's a good fit for you. We are producing phenomenal lifters out of this gym. We've got, even just recently, we've got brand new lifters that have never stepped foot on a platform. Scratch that. We've got brand new lifters that didn't even know what powerlifting was less than 9 months ago. And they've gone and competed in their first meets already. And we've pushed them to get them to that point where we feed that little seed in their brain of being like, dude, now that you've trained for a little while, now that you got several months under your belt, let's see what that can do for you. Like, let's go prove what you've been able to accomplish. And they're like, yeah, man, I'd love to step on stage, step on a platform. No other rhyme or reason except just for the experience of doing it. And I'm like, absolutely, let's get you going. So, I mean, we've got people in here, and we have people queued up to go do their first meet here in a month, and they're gonna absolutely kill it. And it's because of the way they train. It's because of the consistency of them getting their butts in here every single day. Everybody that's been competing recently are all the same people that have been putting in the time and the effort. We talked about it last week, talking about the whole consistency thing, right? And when it comes down to it, if you're all talk and you're just saying, I aspire to do this and these are my goals and this is what I want to accomplish, but if it's not being followed up by actions and you're only showing up half the time, that's all it is. It's just talk, dude. And I don't really care to associate with people that are all talk. I just can't. So it has to be followed up with some kind of action. And when it comes down to it, the actions are going to speak louder than words. I know that's very cliche to say. A lot of times people won't even talk about what they aspire to do. They just get up and freaking do it, dude. So I carry a personality type as a coach, as a trainer, as a gym owner, as a spouse, even as a friend. Really, everything that has to do with my personality is that I trust people a little too much. And when someone comes to me to say that they're going to do a certain thing, I like to hold that to them. Like, I like to hold it to them. So if they're going to say, you know, hey man, I'm ready to do this next, powerlifting meet, sign me up. I'm like, okay, man, like you realize what you're committing to, right? Like if you sign up, you're doing it. You're not backing out. That's kind of the way I like to live my life is when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I hold that same standard to anybody that I choose to associate with. So it's all about choosing your friends wisely, right? But it's also about being a good friend too. It's about making sure that you're holding your friends accountable, making sure that they can be the absolute best that they can be as well. So all of that comes full circle into what it means to have a good crew of guys that creates a good environment that helps you to actually establish your goals and what you're capable of doing. And if you've got people that are just there to kind of mess around and not really do much, then find yourself a new crew. Come on down, come check us out. Come see what it's like to actually train with a group of dudes that knows how to get after it, knows how to still have a good time, but just train like a freaking banshee, because that's what we've been lately. We just keep on going until one of us gives up, pretty much. First person to puke wins is kind of been our motto lately. So that's pretty much where we're at there. All right, moving on. So next question on the list here, we've got, do you like it raw? I'm not sure how to answer that question. I could say yes. I could also say no. from the context of lifting, I'm going to say that I've only ever really trained raw. So for me to offer any other opinion on the subject wouldn't really be much of an opinion at that point. So certainly biased towards one style of training over another. I will say, and this will just lead me down a huge rabbit hole into the story of our last powerlifting meet that we did as a crew together, but I actually had a really good buddy of mine out of Blackfoot that at weigh-ins the day before our last competition, we got talking about potential records that could be broken and talking about different divisions, weight classes, would be divisions, right? So you got your multi-ply, your single ply, your classic raw, your raw. I guess that's considered a division, right? So within those divisions, we were talking about different records that were up for grabs and different records that we were within arm's reach of breaking. And it started turning my attention towards wanting to starting to get into single ply a lot more. And upon reviewing a lot of the Federation's records that they had online, I realized that I was actually very close to getting a single ply deadlift record, and I could do that as a raw lifter. At the time, the record was set at 551 pounds. I'm not sure what the kilogram conversion would have been on that one. So looking into that, I actually made the rash decision just right up to the point of weigh-ins, where I decided that instead of what I had registered for as a raw lifter, I was then going to enter into my first single ply meet ever for the only purpose of trying to break this record. Had no gear on me. I had not trained in gear ever. And so I got talking to this buddy that I was mentioning out of Blackfoot, and he's like, well, hey, like if you're interested, I've got a couple suits that I could bring with me tomorrow. Let you try some on, see if any fit. He's about my size too. He's competing in similar weight classes, very close to mine as well. And so, long story short, the day of the meet, we start messing around with some of the suits, and he didn't realize that my intentions were that if the suit was going to fit, I was hoping to use it at the meet. So I started the meet doing raw in squat, and I hit an all-time best, like personal best for myself. Still a little ways away from hitting any kind of record with it, but for me, it was knee sleeves and just lifting raw, so classic raw standard basically, where I hit my own personal best on squat. Moved on to bench. Bench went all right. I pretty much matched my last best that I've ever done at a meet, so not great. Got lots and lots of improvement to do on bench, which we won't talk about right now. But then it came, we took a little lunch break and looking at getting warmed up to start doing the deadlift. So during that lunch break, we went into the bathrooms where I could try on that single ply suit, and we got talking about it, and he's like, "Oh, well, I didn't realize that you were actually competing in single ply today." He's like, "Heck, dude, if I would have known that, you could have just thrown the suit on right at the beginning of the day and tried squatting in it." And my mind was like, "Oh, that's probably not the best idea. The last thing I need is to have never tried gear on before ever and then end up bombing out of my competition just because I either couldn't hit depth or I was dumping weight or just not even having a remote clue what I'm doing in this squat suit." So anyway, I try it on, fits great, super, super tight. He said it looked great. So we ended up warming up to a 315 raw before we even threw the suit on. Once the plates were loaded up to 315, I then went and changed, came back, pulled that 315 with the suit on. Just trying to get a good feel for it. The amount of support through the hips, through the hamstrings, everything was just absolutely phenomenal. Never really experienced much like that before in my life. I've tried the slingshots and I've tried, you know, some very basic beginner supportive gear as more of just a variation of training is all it's ever really been. So to go full bore basically and go right into the geared stuff, it was definitely an experience. It was freaking fun. I enjoyed it. Left my inner thighs all bruised up, which was great, but ended up pulling a 5 kilogram PR over the national record, which was set. So ended up establishing my very first national record as a power lifter that day, which was awesome. So got that certificate submitted over in the mail. It got sent to me a few weeks later. So we got that up on the wall in the gym. So yeah, being about 3 years into my powerlifting career and established my first United States national record in the AAPF. So still competing as amateur. Haven't gone over to the APF side where it's non-tested and a lot bigger boys competing on that side. So, you know what? Still a national record. It's in the tested category. I'll take it. We're just moving onward and upward from there. So I hope that answers the question of whether or not I like it raw. I certainly would love to get into geared lifting. I know it's going to help me to stay healthier longer. It's going to prolong my longevity within the sport. And even if I decided that I didn't want to step on the platform ever again in my life, and maybe I made the decision that being a part of a federation is just a waste of money and it's a sham and whatever you want to call it, I would still be training every single day, where at some point I'm going to make that decision of, hey, you know what, if I want to keep doing what I'm doing, let's play it safe. Let's keep my body safer, keep my body healthier, and let's move over into some of the geared category stuff and keep on going. So that's the game plan there. We'll see how recent or how long it's going to end up being before I get myself involved in that. Well, I think I got time to answer one more question here before I got to go in and start training. Last question that I really wanted to touch base on, and this is kind of it's a shame that I'm answering it right now because I feel like I can't give my full breakdown reasoning for the question. So honestly, like this is a topic that we can take an entire 2-3 hours talking about on a future episode, maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the question is, what are some of the different types of strength training and why did you choose conjugate? So that's a seriously loaded question that I could go on and on and on forever. The condensed version of that story and the condensed answer that I'm going to give for today is that I do not like the traditional Western periodization style of training for the only reason that I do not like having periods of time throughout my training blocks where I feel that I'm wasting my own time only pursuing one goal at a time. So if you know anything about training, and if you know anything about programming, you'll know that a very common way to do someone's strength training program is to consider an off season that the athlete is going to be in. You could be a team athlete, you could be a individual sport athlete, whatever. The way you're going to train typically in the United States, the way a college is going to train you is that, I'm just going to take football, for example, because it's just an easy one to go off of. So if you're a football player, your season is basically August all the way up till the end of the year and sometimes even into the new year. And talk about NFL players all the way at the top. You're doing Super Bowl pretty much in February, right? So your season is basically lasting September, October, November, December. So you've got half a year, really. Like your whole season is going into a full 6 months or so, maybe even more, as a professional. High school is a little different. Your high school sports typically run for like 3-ish months, roughly, because you've got your 3 sport athletes that do fall, winter, spring. You typically do a season sport for about those 3 months, and then you've got your 3 months of summer break, basically. So the way you're going to program somebody like that is you're going to say, okay, if you're in your off season, that means we are not running you into the ground and we are not doing practice every day and we're not playing games. So your body should be feeling pretty dang good. You should be well recovered. You should be focused on building, and that's what they're going to call it. This is your building phase. So they establish your program for you and they say, these are your building blocks that you're going through. We're going to go through a complete block of the training where we are building you up. So it's going to consist of a lot of strength training, and it's going to consist of a lot of getting you either bigger or better conditioned for your coming season. And once your season starts, they expect you to be in shape going into that season. And it's always surprised me and shocked me that they still continue with the same traditions of doing hell weeks. You know, you got your 1 or 2 weeks worth of the very beginning of a sports season is where you're going to run people into the ground so much so that they might sustain an injury or they might end up getting an overuse injury to the point that before their season even starts, they don't get to play, basically. Or maybe they're held off for a couple games because they just went too hard, too fast. They weren't ready for it. Their body certainly wasn't conditioned for it. And so you show up week one, you're doing 2 days, you're getting ran into the ground. And as a football player, I mean, if you prioritize your sport, if you are an athlete and an ambassador of that sport, you really ought to be coming in to your regular season already being in shape. The 2 weeks of hell week, or whatever you want to call it, your 2 days, that shouldn't even exist, because at that point, if you're not serious about playing the sport, you shouldn't need 2 weeks to get conditioned for the rest of your season. That makes zero sense to me at all. So anyway, with that being said, you're then expected with your training program that while you're in season, you're expected to maintain throughout that season. And typically what happens is athletes don't take their training seriously, and so they'll actually start seeing a decrease in their strength. They might be able to keep up on conditioning, cardio, whatever, because that's just the nature and the demand of their sport. But when it comes to the training outside of practice, they typically take a dip in their progress there. I can understand why. I also would argue that it's not a good excuse either. There are a lot of athletes that follow the same system of training that I have adopted into the business plan and the model and everything that we got going here at the gym, which is Conjugate. There's several professional athletes out there worldwide that follow this system, and it makes my heart really, really happy when I hear about an NFL team or even just an NFL player that's adopting this system of training, and they're mid-season and they just finished up a game, but they're still coming in doing a max effort workout that following Monday or Tuesday or whatever schedule split they're on, and they're hitting a new all-time PR on a squat or on a deadlift or on any other variation that they see fit to do for their athletes. It could be even an Olympic lift. Maybe they hit a all-time PR on a one rep max clean, you know, something like that. So that shows a lot of progress, right? If you can be middle of your season, this is typically where a lot of athletes start getting burnt out, and now they're just trying to hang on for dear life that they don't actually get hurt. And yet you've got these other athletes adopting this other system of training where they're actually making progress throughout their season. That's freaking awesome. So I guess backtracking a little bit, I always get off on these tangents, but so the difference with other training systems is that you're going to take a period of time where you're just going to focus on one aspect of the training. So you might go through a strength block, and then you might cycle through with a hypertrophy block. Then you go through a conditioning block, and you typically just kind of go on this cycle. You're going over and over. So what happens in those instances? Well, usually what happens is if you're not prioritizing absolute strength and you're not practicing that, because it is a skill, you have to keep working at it to get better. If you are not purposely applying absolute strength training into your routine, you move into a hypertrophy phase. Well, now your strength gains take a dip. Your strength levels take a dip. And you might sacrifice that just to put on a little bit of size. But then what happens when the hypertrophy block stops and then you go into a conditioning phase? Well, you could hold on to that size depending on quality with your rest and your food, nutrition, calories, all that stuff. If you can maintain that, sure, yeah, you could definitely hold on to that size. Do we see it a lot where people will go into a conditioning phase and they'll actually lose a little bit of those gains, those hard-earned, well-deserved gains? Yes, absolutely. And so you're basically sacrificing one area of progress for another. So from a powerlifting standpoint, typically what happens is an athlete is going to be several weeks, maybe several months out from doing a powerlifting meet, and you're going to have stupid high volume with a lot lower intensities with your training. So you're looking like a bodybuilder, right? You're working up to sets of 10, you're working up to sets of 12 even. You're working on the conditioning aspect of that training, right? So what typically happens is you start moving closer and closer to meet day, and your intensities are going to go up, but your volume is going to slowly come down. So you're going from doing sets of 10 to 12 down to sets of 6 to 8, and you're progressively feeling like you're getting a little bit stronger. You're putting on a little more weight on the bar each time. Your volume actually is coming down at that point. So yes, while the intensity is going up, and that is a good thing, the issue is that you're not addressing the volume aspect of that training. So by the time you get up to meet day, now you're working into heavy triples, heavy doubles, and eventually heavy singles. You're pretty much working up to what you would hope to hit as an opener at the meet. And by that time, you've probably gone almost a whole month, you know, if you're 4 weeks out from a powerlifting meet, you've gone the equivalent of a full month where the volume is next to nothing. And because of that, your intensity is through the roof, so you're feeling okay. But then when you get to the meet, you have missed out on all of the conditioning and the GPP aspects of what it means to be a great lifter. So if you ignore that completely and you have no sense of general physical preparedness established as your base as a lifter, then you're going to go hit those openers and you're going to have a heck of a time recovering before you're ready to do second attempts. And if you can even grasp being able to recover off a second attempt, now you're expected to go hit a third attempt, which subsequently should be a PR and potentially a record and potentially a whatever it may be. You know, it's your top lift. You're going for the win, right? So you're going all out. You're expending all that energy. You hit a third attempt, maybe you smoke it, but then that's all you got left in the tank because your conditioning levels are just crap. And you can imagine what happens when you do max effort, because that's what it is at a powerlifting meet. You are doing max effort work. It's absolute strength tests right there. So if you're getting gassed off of a squat, you're expected to perform off a bench press and then a deadlift, which is arguably the hardest movement to recover from. You're expected to do that at the end of the day. If your base isn't there, you're sucking it up. Your program sucks if that's the case. So going full circle, and we could talk about different training styles at a later podcast episode. We'll get more into the nitty-gritty on RPEs and linear progression and block training and all that good stuff. But for now, shifting gears, I'll answer why I've gone the way of conjugate. Well, conjugate is just a fancy term for basically concurrent training. We have different cycles that we go through, and those cycles are all meshed together. So the best way I've heard this explained, let me check the time real quick, make sure we got plenty of time here. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. So the best way I've heard this explained, it actually came from none other than Dave Tate. He's phenomenal at explaining things this way. He likened the conjugate system to the gears in a engine or a motor or whatever have you, some kind of automobile or some kind of locomotive, right? You've got your different gear settings. So within that complex system that takes your vehicle forward, you've got bigger gears, you've got little gears, you've got certain gears that are hitting different torques, and they're all working together as a system. Well, I liken that to how the conjugate system is set up. We've got max effort work. We've got 2 days a week where we're going to do an upper day and a lower day. Super simple. You're going to focus on a lower exercise like a squat or a deadlift, or sometimes even a good morning. Throw that in the cycle quite a bit. And you're going to go to max effort. You're going to go up to a true one rep max effort on that lift. Now, the way that that cycle rotates, that you can imagine that this is your gear, well, it rotates once a week. So every single week, we've made a full rotation on that gear where we are changing the movement. So we might go from a squat to a good morning to a deadlift within 3 weeks. We might do two squats and then a deadlift. We might do squat, deadlift, squat, deadlift, squat, and then decide it's time to do a little tiny deload. So then we go into a good morning. So there's all sorts of different ways that you can structure this. And that's why when I say conjugate system, that's what it is it's a system. It's not a program. If it's a program for me, then it's my outline of what I need as my individual self needs. It's not necessarily what athlete XYZ needs. So while they may follow the same system, they are doing movements and they're doing certain itemized selection of exercises that's going to suit their needs as a lifter versus my needs. Because I might have a super, super weak lower back, which I don't. But if my back needed issue or if my back needed attention in training, then that might be something completely different than the other lifter that's training with me in the mornings, where maybe their hamstrings have zero strength at all and they need all the attention bringing up those hamstrings. Maybe you have really weak delts. maybe you don't have any triceps at all. You look at your bench press and you're relying on absolute front delt, chest, absolute pump, trying to get that sucker going, and you just don't have the triceps, right? So that's the difference. So that's one gear, that's one cog in the whole system that rotates on a weekly basis. Now we can talk about dynamic effort work, which is our speed stuff, right? So with our speed work, we're going through 3-week waves on the speed work. We will cycle through where we have week one being a little bit lighter, week two bumping up the intensity by 5%, and then another 5%. And we're going to go through that series for 3 weeks, and then we cycle back down to the first percentage of week one. That's what we're doing into week four. So week four is the start over of a 3-week cycle. So that gear is turning at a different speed, a different intensity as the max effort stuff. And then you start applying any kind of assistance work that you might need. So with assistance work, we're talking skull crushers, we're talking dumbbell work, band work, machines, cables, all the stuff that gets you jacked, right? That's the stuff that brings up the muscles that then bring up the lifts that you're trying to get better at. Now, those lifts we might keep in a rotation for a whole month. As long as you're seeing progress, we don't change those too often. If you're working up, say, 4 or 5 weeks in, and by week five, if you cannot make a single bit of progress there, change the exercise. You go from an easy bar skull crusher to body weight dips. You might go from rear delt raises to banded face pulls or a lat pull down or something that targets those delts and lats a little bit differently. So we're doing a completely different change in the next gear in that system, but everything is combined into one. So simply put, conjugate is the system where we are focused on absolute strength, we are focused on conditioning, we are focused on hypertrophy, we are focused on speed and explosiveness, and we get to work on all that within a week's training period. It's all being addressed all at once. It's all being addressed sometimes and very frequently within one workout. And that's the benefit right there. So, long story short, why do I do conjugate? Well, it's because I don't want to feel like I'm not in shape for a point of a certain time of the year. I don't want to feel like my strength has to take a sacrifice and a backseat just to work on bodybuilding. I don't want to feel like if I want to be conditioned to run a super stupid fast mile time, I don't want to feel like I have to sacrifice my deadlift max for that. So that's my choice. And we're going to go into a lot greater detail in the coming weeks. We're going to talk more about conjugate, get you guys very familiar with the system that we do, show you examples, talk about successes we've had in the gym. That's my favorite part, is when we start telling people like, hey, like this is what so-and-so is doing. This is where so-and-so started, and this is where they're at now. It's phenomenal. It's freaking awesome. I love the system. I love that it's variety. I love that I don't get bored. I love that I feel like I'm always peaking no matter what. You ask any other powerlifter that doesn't do some system, some way of doing a conjugate-based system, and you're going to find out very quickly that they... what's the best way to put it? You're going to find out very quickly that they just kind of get bored with it, I guess is the best way to put it, right? So if you're always working on bench and you're always working on squat and you're always working on deadlift and you have nothing else to really go for, then your system is just kind of pointless. It's kind of useless, right? So I got to work on all these different things all at once, and it just keeps it fun. It keeps the training great. It keeps the kids entertained, honestly. Like if I can keep kids entertained, that they're going to keep coming back, and then they see progress as they're being entertained, and it's just a working system, so I have nothing against it. So anyway, that's basically my answer there. Hopefully that answered the question. I'm gonna wrap it up because I got some training to do. We got crew members rolling in, so lights are kicking on. We're gonna start getting after it on this beautiful Saturday, and we are just gonna absolutely wreck it. So be looking on the social medias, see what kind of stuff we're posting about, all the crazy shenanigans we get up to in Morning Crew. And if you guys want to come check things out, the invitation's always there. I can't promise you that you'll be able to hang, and I can't promise you that you'll even enjoy it, but I'm always looking for new people that want to come in, check things out, be a part of the culture here, learn what a good group of dudes we've got going here and what kind of friendships can be made. And the best part is that we push each other. That's really what it comes down to. We don't let each other sandbag. We don't let people fall by the wayside. We hold each other accountable. That's what it's all about, man. That's why we love training. So we're going to close off the podcast ending there. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Let me know in any comments of however you're getting in contact with this episode or whatever social media platform you're using. Feel free to throw a comment out. Make sure you're definitely following the pages, all the Chase Strong stuff that we got going on. Let us know what we can work on as far as content. So what you want to hear, what you want to learn about. That's all the stuff that we want to hear about from you guys. So let us know. We will catch you later. Have a great weekend, and we will catch you next week with another episode. Peace out.